I'd like to speak about this great opportunity. I remember the first time I went to a Zen meditation retreat. It was a weekend of introduction to Zen, so luckily the meditations were no longer than 20 minutes. Some of them were 15 minutes and some of them were 20 minutes. And yeah, I was 16 years old and the Zen master didn't really want me there because I should be at least 18. But I insisted enough so that she allowed me to be there. So, and I remember the first 20 minutes, this killing pain on my knee, and had no clue how to sit. And there I was, like no one told me how to sit, right? So, as it happened here. And there I was in front of the wall, because in this Zen school, you're supposed to meditate looking at the wall. So I could say in my mind, the only thing I remember is wishing with all my heart for that bell to ring as soon as possible. To the point of like, this bell rings right now, or I'm getting up and kick the bell, you know. That was like full on. But finally the bell rang, you know, luckily. And the moment the bell rang, the only thing came was very, very clear. Was like, wow. Whatever this is, I don't know exactly what this is, but whatever question I have, all those millions of questions that I have, all the questions I have, there is this one only way to find out, and this is the way. A sense of, okay, it's not that I got any answer, but I know that what I'm looking for, I can only find it inside. I can only find it in this silence, in this scary, inconvenient, quiet silence. So I kept going in that way for a few years later. So it feels to me that, for what I hear, many, many times we do come into meditation retreat situation, not knowing really what I'm looking for. And not really having any certainty that we will actually find that which we are looking for. And probably we come here only because we tried other things before. And they didn't work, or we want to try further in this way. So somehow, all of us, in some way or other, we arrived into a point where somewhere, even through the head or through the heart or through the belly, whatever, we got to this point of like realizing that what is the point of this running around, being alive? What is the point of being alive? Or what is the point of just keep running around? It's like this funny list of things to do that we make. I think by now we all know that the list never ends. Never. I mean, I still do the list and pages. Okay, when I get here, I'll stop. And then 10 more great ideas come. And of course, they get written there, and then the tension of I have to do them. I have no time. I'm stressed. But who put those words there? Who wrote that list? The same one that is complaining about the list. So there is a sense of just like being in a kind of a wheel, no? It was funny, I don't know which day we came here in Holland. Just walking out the airport was this big wheel. So funny, no? And this guy running inside. It's like, I thought that was for hamsters. I thought. But it was cool. I mean, it was cool. Why not? So a bit this sense, no? Like, keep running, you will get there, no? But the wheel never stops. There was even a number there to be proud of how many times I go around. And somewhere there is also a certain proudness of how many times I go around, no? How many things I'm able to do. But something gets ticklish inside, or a bit uncomfortable. Why all this? And we come here in this situation where we're able to disconnect. I like better to say that we are able to connect. We can say to unplug from one switch and plug to another one. And it can be very tricky and difficult to relax in this situation where we don't know what is going to happen. We do know that running around the wheel will provoke, will create more running. And maybe it's stressful, maybe it's painful, but we know what will happen. This is a more, let's say, comfortable field. We know we can manage out there somehow. With more layers or less layers, but we will survive. But the moment we connect with this discomfort of being running away, being running around without getting anywhere, like it has a feeling of somewhere like this. Desperation, how you say, like somewhere like it becomes urgent. Like it's not only about which kind of bread that I buy, you know, it becomes like, wait a minute, like this is a question of life. You can say life and death, but it's life, you know, which has death inbuilt somehow, but it's life and it's my life. And it's in my hands to be alive. And I'm asked to be alive. And I cannot escape to be alive. So being in touch, like not to escape that. Longing or that aliveness that is calling, let's say. Not to escape that and to come here just to try. Why not? It is scary and it could be scary and it should be scary. It's something different. We were speaking now with one of you. We come here and we open this box and we have no clue what is going to come out of this box. Is it all right to open this box? It will be okay, no? You come and ask, would it be okay to open this box? And somebody's like, well, you know what it is outside the box. The wheel is going on. You can be there. And the box can be open. And we don't know what this box is going to ask. We don't know what is going to come out. I say many times, like people come to the retreat, I like to read the registration forms and, you know, some of you say like, I just want to rest. I come here to lie down. I come here because my partner came here. I come here, yeah, to rest, to sleep. To find peace as a gift to myself, or to check in. There is an intention, there is a guess of the direction I want to go. But the box is not going to really follow what you want. Because life is kind of huge, it's much bigger than that. And it's good that there is a motivation. Yeah, I want to rest, or I want to be in nature. But to know that the moment we open, there is a whole world that opens with it. And many times what happens is like we open and the first thing to find out is like, oh my God, there is so much going on inside. I better close again. Ah! Where is the key? I want to close it. But we know it's not possible to close it anymore. And we are left there, I mean here. Just having to find out, having to walk with our feet. And be in touch with emotions and realms that live within us. That we never listened to, that we never guessed that would be there, or that we never really had any time to be with. And probably no one really helped us or in that, or showed us that this is part of life. So it's completely acceptable and beautiful to be lost. It's wonderful to open that and to see all that and to be scared. And why not at the same time somewhere passionate or happy to find out? And if we can just keep this aliveness, this sense of being innocent. Oh, let's see what is in there. Let's see what is in there. If we can just really accept from the beginning and just make a deal that nothing which is in there is wrong. It cannot be wrong. Whatever that is. Of course, we can come up with many reasons for many things to be wrong. But perhaps they are only results of things that just happen in our life. I find fear. Oh, fear should not be there. Well, fear, you know, maybe made it possible for you to be here, alive now. Oh, sadness, so much sadness, it should not be there. Well, thanks God, finally you can get in touch with the sadness. Instead of just the anger and the fighting. Why not to just let it melt, let feel this sadness deeply inside. Oh, I'm so tired. Yeah, hallelujah. Welcome. Yes, you are allowed to be tired. You're allowed to feel the tiredness in the body and the cells, just like, please give me a rest. And I know it's to ask a lot to just stay in that mess, in that unknown. It's very easy to speak about being in the unknown. We can read this in many books, no? Just be in the unknown. But it's extremely difficult to just be in the unknown. It's completely normal that we want to see the results. We want to know what's happening. What is the progress? Is it going well? Is it working, this meditation? But we don't really have a way of measuring. Usually we tend to go to thoughts like, oh, it must not be good, my meditation, because I still have many thoughts. Or I'm daydreaming a lot. But who said that this is wrong? Who invented that? So we can just really let whatever is, like if we can for once, like not to find all this pull to judge ourselves. We don't know what's supposed to happen, so we cannot really say that quick if this is right or wrong. And again, I know it's a lot to ask just to be there. And the mind jumps in and wants to make this week worth, you know. And wants to make sure that you are getting somewhere. And especially something that you can get somewhere that you have some sense of being able to explain to someone what you have been doing this week. But in reality, there are no words to say. There is not much you can say to your friend. Or it will feel very stupid to just say, I spent a whole week and I have no clue what I have been doing. And there is no really reason to come here other than this tiny ticklish voice or feeling or sensation that we felt someday at some point, who knows why. And it said, just stop. Just try some other way. Just see if by stopping running on the wheel, something can change. And to me, like someone who can say yes to that, someone who has the courage to stop is already huge. To me, in that moment, something starts inside, like a momentum starts. And somewhere I know from that moment on, like, we will just keep going with whatever. It's like deciding to have a child. It's not that you can say, okay, I will have a child if the child is with, you know, blue eyes, curly hair, nice with people, tall. It's this jumping into the unknown. There is the wish to have a child, and you know you're going to embrace that, whatever that is. Whatever. You know you're going to be stuck with that child for a while. Literally stuck. For a while. And then still stuck forever, probably. And you know that even that you clearly know that you have no clue how you are going to manage. You will manage. First thing, how the hell am I going to breastfeed? I mean, how that works? Then that comes, and then that goes, and then the next. Now I have to cook things for that little tiny thing. What am I going to cook for that tiny thing? You know, start reading books and this and that, and all contradict, and it's like, okay, God. And still, I think that's the easiest. Wait. When they come to be 12, 13. So that's a bit the situation, no? And why we say yes to that? I mean, who? It's crazy. Because it doesn't come from here, it just comes. So in this yes to life, this yes which is wider, much, much wider than what we think. We feel safe thinking, okay, I start meditation because I want this result, because I want to change this area of my life. But then the moment we start, a whole world opens. And it doesn't want to change only that area that we came. It also changes this other area, and this other area, and this other area, and this other area, and this other area. And slowly, slowly we become completely new, a completely different person. So to remember this yes, you know, this yes that comes from somewhere, like, we can say, like, beyond us, or in Spanish is a very nice word, like, a pesar de, like, even though I'm here, trying not to. Trying not to get in touch with that. Life is bigger than that and wants to come. So like, even me trying not to, life manages to pull me. No? So something like that. It's not really my path, my spiritual path now started, and you will see. I'll tell you what enlightenment is. But who put this seed inside, you know? Where is this coming from? Why are we made with those questions? Well, I don't know, but I do know that listening to those questions makes me human. It just feels a completely natural thing to do. And I know I'm going to get in trouble for that. But I cannot avoid being what I am. I cannot make as if I don't see the light, no? I cannot make as if I don't see the tree. Or the potential behind everything. So remembering or getting in touch with that pull or that vibration behind. Many times it means to go back to when we were children, before all the effort of covering up those questions and making sure that I have an answer. I think everyone has this, you know, everyone had this somewhere behind. And to get in touch with that energy, with that vibration, in reality, in my experience, is really all we have to do. Is the summary of meditation, you know. What is meditation? That. Just to get in touch with that vibration. That aliveness. It's not that much about changing this or changing that and, you know, turning this hand like that and the head like this, and then all this may happen, but not because I'm doing it. Of course, many, many changes may happen, but not because I'm changing them, not because I'm repairing myself like with all these torturing tools. But because in this connection, in this vibration, there is a healing power inbuilt that is able to unblock, just invented this thing probably. You know, there is a knot, and then you what? You undo the knot? And get? Unravel. Oh. Okay. This. So. Yeah. So. In being in touch with this vibration has the power to undo the knots. And it's not really that much about myself, you know, because I know how to meditate, but my meditation practice. But really about being in touch with that aliveness, that potential, that which was there before I was here. I mean, I didn't even put it there. Who put it there? I don't know. That which was there before your parents were born, says the Zen koan. Show me that. But that is what we are asked to be in touch with. And that drives everything else. And in this deep rest, connected deep rest, and I like to put the word connected because sometimes we think about rest just like, okay, pow, time to sleep. And yeah, it's also good to sleep, it's nothing against it, but this intention makes a huge difference, this connection. And it really doesn't matter if in this connection we fall asleep. But that intention, that vibration, that is extremely important. So I know it's very difficult for the mind to relax without having everything in its place, no? It's difficult to give ourselves to that adventure without really knowing what are we getting into. And I know we prefer to hold on into something, whatever that is, even if this is negative, you know. Oh wait, they have to repair all these areas in me. I get upset too early, I get stressed too often, okay. And we are trained and we are used to do things ourselves. I have this problem and I have to solve this problem. And here I'm putting out this invitation to let things as they are. And get in touch with the source. That vibration will take care and will reorganize everything or dissolve whatever needs to be dissolved. Of course, you can also, you also have the chance if you want to fight. Like you have, if you want, you can do that also. Sometimes we need to do that till we get little more tired. Like if we are not tired enough, then somehow it doesn't work. So just to feel this readiness to let go. To feel when the hand wants to let go. Sometimes we speak about letting go. We say, oh, I have to let go of this, I have to let go of that. And it's very interesting because actually somehow let go happens. I mean, how can you manage to let go? Just try. It's kind of difficult. But if we manage to not escape from the tiredness of living our way, if we manage not to escape from the discomfort of our life, if we don't repress that, we can get in touch with the tiredness and can just feel how the whole being wants to let go. It's not, I want to let go, I have to let go, but finally. It's a much more natural process or possible. So I don't know if there is any question.
In the beginning of your talk, you said it's difficult, and you said it should be difficult.
Yeah. No, I said it should be difficult, I think, in the beginning, because I think I just meant because like we are not trained for that. No? What I mean, I think, what I meant was more like it's normal that it's difficult. Yeah, it's completely normal. That it would be weird if it's not difficult. But because of what we are told, no, what how we learn things. So, yeah, it's like going the other way around. Why, you don't find it difficult?
No, I find it extraordinarily difficult. But what should, was in the way.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't understand. Why should it be difficult?
Yeah.
I wish it for everybody to be very, very easy.
Yeah.
As soon as you get very disorganized from this force, how long does the process usually take?
Yeah, it takes exactly like 3,032 hours, 5 minutes and 10 seconds.
Should I prepare myself for years of being confused?
Yeah.
So that's what scares me.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah. Like, it sounds a bit kind of Californian New Age thing, but what I feel is that somehow you get into, or you are given, let's say, whatever, the confusion that you are able to handle. So in this being confused, they are also fruits, no? They are steps and fruits and beauty in the mess itself, no? So, yeah. So those moments of beauty or this fruit makes you somehow say thank you to the confusion. Yeah, like somewhere you, because it's a bit what I said, no, before, that yeah, we have the choice to open the box or not, but we know this will, no? Like, it cannot go anywhere, even if you really try again. And if you know that somewhere in your heart, then you are able to, or then is the right moment to be open to something else. And it brings confusion and it also brings joy. You know? So both are there, it's not only the confusion.
So if it goes too long well with you, then you have to worry?
Too long?
Well with you, that you are not in the confusion, then you have to worry?
No, not at all. No. That means that you are starting to be retrained, no?
Uh-huh.
Like, means that, let's say, yeah, that this new situation becomes friendly, no?
Uh-huh.
Like, in the beginning it's weird, not because the situation is weird, it's because not being used to, no? And then you start to manage in this other world and know some Dutch words, and then I can live here, you know. Then you buy some jackets. Okay, then you really can live here. But you
some
know,
more jackets.
Yeah. In the beginning, you are here, no one single word of Dutch and no jacket. It's like, oh my God, in my country was summer, no? And so, this kind of thing, no? Then you get in your place and yeah, this becomes your country.
Can I just ask you, just personally, what kind of tradition, because you mentioned you started with Zen, you know, very, very highly disciplined. Do this, do that. What are the... I know there was a little bit about your biography out there, but I'm just wondering what are the sort of... what influences there have been on your life in terms of meditation?
In meditation? Like, what like...
Okay, so you mentioned that you started with Zen.
Yeah.
Yeah? I'm just wondering if you could say a little bit about, I don't know, how you got to where you are now.
Yeah, with an aeroplane. Because I got this dwelling and then Nanda was there waiting. Yeah, so, like, I just remember, like, I always had been, like, very, the adults would say difficult to handle child. Within me was just, like, a big, huge question, and nothing was meeting that question. Like, I remember very, very clearly, like, I want to know what is life, like, this makes no sense, like, what is life? And the teacher's telling me, like, 2 and 2 are 4, or, and it's like, well, who said that? I mean, I'm asking about life, and you are answering, you know, like, those are the days of the week, or whatever. So that was, like, very fiery inside. And then, I mean, yeah, I have to say then, like, when I was 11, I watched this video about, like, St. Francis of Assisi, very innocently. I don't know why they put this in the school. And I watched. And at that point, I was very, like, strong, no? I was hitting people, actually, and having these problems, no? Outside. And inside, I was a poet, no? I was always writing poetry and this. But outside, I was hitting, no? So problematic, you can say. And I watched this video, and St. Francis, like, leaves everything behind, and in that moment I start crying, like, in the class, no, where I shouldn't cry because I was strong, yeah. So, but I was crying. And I always say that in that moment my spiritual practice started, like, consciously, because to me what St. Francis said was, like, it's like, yes, like, it's licit, how you say, like, is it okay to search for that I'm not crazy. What I found looking that video was like, oh, I'm not crazy. Like there is someone, or has been someone in the world, maybe like some years ago, but someone felt what I'm feeling. And this person did something to honor that, to move towards that. And to me, this is the spiritual practice, no? To honor that, to go. So in that moment, really, like, my eyes really opened and my whole life changed, because I felt I'm allowed to feel what I'm feeling, and there is something I can do to move towards that. No? That's how I found everything. Like this. So that was in. And then, yeah, then things like my aunt died, my father died, and this was very, when my father died, then the question about life like came again with so much force that I could not ignore it at all, you know. Then, yeah, then anyway, on the street I found this book that said Zen, and was only like 100 pesetas, would be like half euro. So I took it and I opened page, and page said, the real like Zen points to the question of life and death. And I said, okay, I take this book. And then I started to do Zen like this for 10 years. And was good, but then I got somewhere that I needed more. So then I went to India. Yeah. So like this. So I can say like first nature. First just like not forgetting the initial question from a child. Then nature was really like my place. And then this practice of Zen also helped me a lot about like just this pointing directly to the question. Yeah. But then also like having, like I went like in the Zen, like something opened inside, like some experience come that could, I felt that could not be answered within the Zen culture. So in that moment, I had to go out of Zen. No? I had to go out and find, like, meet that. Find some other person that could experience that in that level. So that's why, for me, it would be very difficult to say that there is one way, no? Because it is very important sometimes to really go one way, but always with enough openness so that really something else can come, because something else maybe wants to come. So, yeah, so that's, I feel, very important. And to have the courage to follow your own sense, no? Not only be stuck in the being part of a group, or, you know, it would be very easy to say, I'm a Zen practitioner, you know. And to let go of that, I mean, could be very difficult. But this is really like to follow your own heart, you know, and really letting whatever needs to be left behind to really honor that call. Good. So, I think it's time. So maybe we just be in silence for a couple of minutes together.